Next Step 181, November 24th, 2011. Hey, this is Father Boskin, a priest of the Armenian Church, welcoming you to The Next Step, the Thanksgiving edition of The Next Step. Our fourth Thanksgiving together. Realize it? Wow. It's now turning into a tradition. The Next Step is about life and love. It's about Armadoxy. And we invite you to kick back right now and enjoy this next few minutes that we're together. This is part of the expanding vision of the Initiate's mission and brought to you by epostle.net. Apostolic evangelism for an expanding universe. If you're ready, let's take the next step. Well, I've got to say good morning first and foremost on this beautiful Thanksgiving. It is morning over here in California where I'm sitting at. I'm at the Apostle East studio all by myself, all by my lonesome, trying to keep my voice down. Ken has promised to engineer this show later on. I'm supposed to send him the file and he'll take care of it. Ani is joining us remotely and Susie, of course, produces this whole thing. I don't know how she does it, but she's on board and we got this whole thing running electronically. I am sitting here because it is Thanksgiving morning and I'm looking forward to going to the Macy's Parade. Now, I got to tell you, this has been my lifelong dream to see the Macy's Parade in reality. And first of all, let me tell you, there's no way I'm going to make it from the West Coast to the East Coast in time for the parade. I'm going to watch it on the Great Equalizer. Yep, that machine that brings reality into our homes every single day. I'm going to be watching it on TV. But it is one of those traditions that I have on Thanksgiving morning. I like to watch it for a very simple reason. It's one of the first memories that my father has. When he used to tell us about when he was a kid. He was 5 years old when he came to America. And he had come from France. My grandmother was displaced after the genocide, and she went a route through Greece and then eventually to France, Marseille, where she met my grandfather. And then my grandfather had come to America to establish life over here. So 1937, my father arrives to New York, 5 years old. And it's his first recollection of his father. And they end up at the Macy's Thanksgiving Parade. And he remembers sitting on his father's shoulders, you know, and watching this entire parade. And I thought that image was so beautiful, an image of the first generation of Armenians here in America and greeting these giant balloons. I don't even know what was around in 1937. But definitely there was a parade. There was a lot of excitement with such a monumental, let's say, department store as Macy's, and a little boy with a lot of wonder having been displaced and finally finding his roots and finding his home here in the United States of America. I'm sure there was so much to be thankful for, as there is so much to be thankful for on our end. So every year on Thanksgiving morning, I have this desire that maybe next year I'll be at the Thanksgiving Parade. I want to see it. I want to see it in reality, in real life. But I am very satisfied to sit in my home and watch it on the television, which brings all of reality to us. It's kind of like the Great Equalizer, isn't it? No matter where you're at, it kind of just like, you know, there's a television and it brings you visions from telescopically, I guess. And so I'm thankful for that. Hey, today is Thanksgiving here in America. It is one of those very, very special days that allows us to take take a break from everything we're doing, from the hustle and bustle. And I say it's a special day because it's actually a government-sanctioned holiday. That is beautiful, isn't it? Of course, the first settlers, the first pilgrims who came to the United States, having fared a terrible, terrible, terrible winter where most of their population was exterminated because of weather, because of famine, because of all kinds of difficulties, they still took a pause and gave thanks for the wonders and the blessings that they do have. So how about that? So today is Thanksgiving, and on that same theme, I'm going to give you a Thanksgiving message that's going to lead you to, are you ready for this? The absolute secret of Armodoxy. The secret between us and eternity. The secret of Armenian Orthodoxy. I'll even go that route, okay? It's not just the secret of Armodoxy, it's the secret of Armenian Orthodoxy. Because I always tell you, listen, I always tell you that there's something about this Armenian Orthodoxy. I can't understand it. You can't understand it, but it's a reality. Here's a group of people, landlocked Armenians, landlocked between three continents. They're exactly right at that spot. If you look at it on a map, it's right there between three continents, between Europe, between Asia and Africa. All of them, they're right there, right in Armenia. It's landlocked little country. And all of them come together there, which means that traders, which means that conquerors have all gone through this small little land. And this people have been killed, have been the object of war, have even seen genocide. The land has been raped and pillaged. And yet at the end of it, they sit through this faith. And I say sit through it because the expression of that faith is delivered to them in the Armenian church. And here it is, the services of the Armenian church, all talking about peace. Hahahutyun amenesun, says the priest. Throughout all the services, not just in the Divine Liturgy. Hahahutyun amenesun, peace unto all. Now think about that. Where's that peace coming from? What are they talking about? Either they're crazy or either there's some kind of incredible secret that we need to tap into that would allow a person to change from all that rape and pillage, from that genocide to a peace. To a peace. And I'm going to give you that secret today because we've stumbled on it. We've stumbled on it by just being here. And I think that really more than the stumbling, I think God is opening up our eyes, opening up our hearts. And if you're listening, you're getting that message through Armodoxy. So it's more than a stumble if you're here right now. Well, of course, if you picked it up today. You know, you remember your next step really got its place in the world because of Thanksgiving. So maybe there is a stumble. It was 4 years ago, I believe. It was in 2008. We had just started the next step. And that year, I think we started in June or July, and it was in November, just 4 or 5 months later. It was Thanksgiving. We did the Thanksgiving edition, and that at that time, podcasting wasn't as popular as it was today. And for some reason, somehow, it was featured on iTunes that day. You know, there's like this podcast of the day or something. I don't know if it's of the day, but we had made it on the front page or something, and completely by chance, perhaps by divine intervention, I don't know. All I know is we were on iTunes, and all of a sudden the next day we started getting all kinds of email, we started getting all kinds of hits, and the next step became known. And I don't know if that's what the case is today. If you're looking around and finding a Thanksgiving message for today and you stumbled upon the next step, if you're a regular at Next Step, if you happen to have, well, downloaded this and said, let me wait until after Thanksgiving, let me wait and listen to it after the holiday, well, then let me just say that I'm glad you're with us today. Anyway, all right? And whatever day this is, Saturday, Sunday, if you're listening to it in your car, if you're listening to it, yes, even our South American friends, if you're, I guess your summer, what we call summer over here, is just about beginning over there. So if you're at the beach listening to the next step, wherever you may be, I hope it's a beautiful one for you today. And I offer this greeting of Thanksgiving. Happy Thanksgiving. And not just in the American way, but in a real true sense of Christian understanding. Thankful, giving thanks. And, well, you probably kind of put the picture together. You probably put the connected the dots today on where the secret's going to lead us. But if you promise me that you'll be on board after the song of the day, I'm going to give you the secret to Armodoxy. So happy Thanksgiving, wherever you may be. Enjoy the day. And now enjoy the song of the day. I picked this out yesterday. I got to be honest with you. I did stumble on it, and it just intrigued me, and I'm going to play it for you. It's by Ara Dinkchian. It is on his album, An Armenian in America. and it is called Meeting My Past. That is a song called Meeting My Past. It is off of an album called An Armenian in America by Ara Dinkchan. We will definitely have a link on our show notes so you could check it out. Kind of an appropriate title, isn't it? On Thanksgiving, An Armenian in America. And appropriate to what we do, too. Armodoxy. Isn't it bringing Armenian Orthodoxy to the world today? Wherever we may be. In the Americas, in Europe, in Africa, in Asia, wherever you may be. I'm sorry, in Australia. South America, wherever you may be, welcome. You know, this is what it's all about. It's putting, making sense out of our reality, wherever we may be. And it's not a question of being Armenian. It's not a question of being out in the America. It's a question of how do we reconcile with the bigger questions in life? And there is a secret to it. It's a very simple secret, and it happens to be contained in an ancient religion. We happen to be the guardians of that religion by virtue of being Armenian, nothing else. We kind of like came upon us, and once we discover it, well, we have nothing else to do but to get the word out that, hey, we have this incredible religion that doesn't take gun, it doesn't take weapons of destruction, but it's a very simple philosophy. It's a simple religion of peace and harmony that brings us together in our lives, with our families, with our communities, within our communities, and really does have the formula to world peace. Sound pretentious? Sound big? Well, why not? I mean, when Christ came, what was his message? It was to reconcile us with a God that was from the beginning of all time. Reconcile us with the beginnings of the universe. Reconcile us with all of reality, with life, and most importantly, to reconcile us with one another. I am sitting here on Thanksgiving morning, and I am like in Studio East outside right now. So during the Song of the Day, I moved the operations outside because it is kind of beautiful. It's like a little chilly. I'm wearing a little cap right now, one of these beanie caps that Susie's mom made for me. Oh, I love it. It just kind of keeps my ears warm, and especially my thinning hair, which has kind of betrayed my head. Now this cap keeps my keeps my head warm as well. So I'm sitting out here and enjoying all that's around me, but there's some kind of action out there with some choppers and helicopters, but the beautiful birds flying around. You may hear them chirping here and there, hear the wind rustling. But now I'm going to tell you about the secret, because today happens to be Thanksgiving here in America, and it comes from a tradition that in ancient times, well, let's say 400 years ago, the settlers, the pilgrims who came to America, took a moment to give thanks to God for all the blessings that they do have. And now if you followed the next step, I've shared this with you in the past, that, you know, the Armenian tradition, the Armenian Orthodox tradition of Thanksgiving, is a celebration every week through the Divine Liturgy, the Holy Eucharist. And in fact, that Eucharist resembles the Thanksgiving feast that so many people will be sitting to today. In fact, in steps and stages too. If you get on our website, we'll make sure that there's, if you got to poke around, but you can find that little chart that we've prepared. And of course, last week on the on our In Questions of Faith series, we explored that, and we broke it all down. But basically, it's the meal. I mean, you go to grandma's house, over the river and through the woods to grandmother's house you go today, and you're going to celebrate in a meal with some friends. Well, you go there all prepared. You clean, shower, shave, and you're out there, and you've got some nice clothes on, and you sit down and you remember your past. You remember the tradition of why you are there, because it is Thanksgiving. And then there is the celebration. You have this meal, this common meal together. And at the end of that meal, you get an invitation to come back again, right? Well, that's what the Divine Liturgy is every Sunday. I mean, you get ready for it. You wear some different clothes. The priest and the deacons and the choir, they don some very special vestments that they wear to celebrate this very special meal, because you don't just go, you know, you get prepared for it. You sit down, and in the same way that you recollect and you reflect on why you are there, perhaps by remembering the pilgrims at Thanksgiving, same way in the church, you remember why you are there by hearing the scriptural passages, by hearing the message of the day. Then you remember those who are no longer with you. You remember the saints. You remember the people that have come before you. And there's all this remembrance in the Divine Liturgy. And then you sit down. You sit down for the meal. And think about it. Grandma's house. You're there. She's cooked this incredible meal for you. And just think how insulted she would be if you said, "Well, sorry, gotta go now." No. The piece de resistance. the ultimate reason why you're there. It's for that meal. Yes, you participate in the same way in the Divine Liturgy. The Holy Eucharist is being offered to you. And if you're ready spiritually, you come down on your knees, you confess, and then you take the Holy Communion. You participate. Now think about that. That's it. Now, you want a more bigger explanation, go into our archives. I've spilled this out. It is so simple. Because once you understand this formula, then you could sit through the Divine Liturgy, not as an opera, not as some kind of a musical presentation, but something that you understand and you reflect with. And it's not a question of just getting the words. You know, so many times in the Armenian church, as well as in all the ethnic churches, the answer is, okay, here's a translation, follow along. It's not about translation. I mean, if you speak the language of God, are you telling me it's confined to Armenian or English or Russian or Greek? No. God's language is the language of love. And if you understand that language, if you're in tune with that language, well, then you could sit down at the Divine Liturgy and it becomes easy. And you enjoy it. You understand it. And you get on your knees and you participate. It's no different than grandmother's meal. This is a meal prepared by the grandmother, the grandfather, by our Father. Our Father who puts it all together for us. Says, you are so great that I'm going to give you this living meal, this living bread. And I love you so much, I care about you so much, that this living bread, once it enters into your life, you will never hunger. In fact, I'm going to give you the living water. You will never thirst. In fact, I'm giving you the light of the world. And who is that? I am the light of the world, says Jesus. I am the living bread. I am the living water. There it is. The I am. God. Incarnation of God, of love, and being presented to us. And that's how simple it is. I mean, we tend to complicate it with rules and regulations. You know, got to wear a hat, got to wear a veil, got to kneel, don't chew gum, don't do that. Hey, these are all secondary things. I mean, like, if you understood what you're coming to, of course you're going to come with reverence. Of course you're going to understand what you're at. I mean, you do it every year. Every time you go to grandma's house, you don't go there and just like kind of like chew gum and say, hey, I don't care about your meal. I'm just putting my legs up on the couch right now. And you guys do whatever you want and have a great meal. I mean, what would grandma do to you? Luckily, God is more forgiving. I know. I'm treading on thin ground right now, talking against grandma. But God is a loving God. God is a loving God who cares and has compassion. And I know all those grandmas out there, they were equally as loving. Yes. I'm going to get out of this one. I dug a hole that I didn't want to go into. But let me share with you the secret, because I did tell you that there is a secret to Armenian Orthodoxy. And it is the reason why this group of people, Armenians, huddled around the base of Mount Ararat, the cradle of civilization. Genesis chapter 2:10 describes where the Garden of Eden is. It talks about four rivers. Do it on a map. There it is. It's in Armenia. Continue in Genesis chapter 8. You see where civilization again begins at the base of Mount Ararat. It happens to be this place called Armenia. And yet, as blessed as this beautiful land is, it has also seen all kinds of disasters. Yes, natural disasters as well. We just heard about it a couple weeks ago up in Lake Van area. There was a major, major earthquake. Yeah, this land sits on some major fault lines, tectonic plates, rumbling, scrambling, doing whatever they do, making it uneasy for people to be living on topsoil over there. Yeah, a lot of natural disasters over there. And they have some cold winters too. But on top of that, they've had some man-made disasters, war, famine, and ultimately genocide. Yeah, genocide, not homicide. Killing one person, you're talking about killing the entire gene pool. Genocide. And yet here this group of people continue, despite seeing all of this, despite having their land raped and pillaged, There are people killed, destroyed. Still talk about peace. And here it is. I think, and I'm very sure of this, I'm very confident of this, after studying the hymns of the Armenian Church, Armenian Orthodoxy, after studying the prayers of the Armenian Church, there's really one thing that has contributed to that survival, the secret of that survival, and that is thanksgiving. That's how simple it is. Because what happens in thanksgiving? I mean, check out Scripture. I know everyone has Bibles, and it's an easy way to check it out. Check out what goes on in the early church community. Check out what happens after the crucifixion. You have a group of people that witness a resurrection. From crucifixion, they go to resurrection, and they are changed. They are changed completely, so that even people who once denied Jesus, once betrayed Jesus, are now on board for the long haul. Their lives have been changed, and they're ready to now proclaim the goodness of God. And it's an interesting change, a shift, because what you notice in that early community, and you could probably read this in the book of Acts, where you see the early church community, especially that post-resurrection community coming together, what you notice is that they're filled with thanksgiving. Their prayers begin with thanksgiving. And as I'm studying this, I realize that the Armenian people have taken that exact same model. Because in thanksgiving, what are you doing? The first thing you're doing is you're acknowledging that there is some power, that there is something greater than you that is worthy of giving thanks to, right? It's very basic. If you're giving thanks, it means that there's something bigger than you, and you're going to give thanks to that, right? Otherwise, if there wasn't, you just kind of sit back and say, hey, this is pretty cool. Did it myself. No. In the act of giving thanks, in the act of thanksgiving, there lies the secret to survival. There lies the secret to life. Because when you give thanks, you are now acknowledging something greater than you. But beyond that, think about this. What are you giving thanks for? For the goodness. So like it or not, here is the secret. Thanksgiving changes your point of view from the negative to the positive, from pessimism to optimism. That despite how difficult life is, thanksgiving immediately forces you to focus in on the good things, to focus on the blessings that God has given you. And that's really, really a bigger secret than you might imagine. Because, you've heard it. I mean, you get these internet little quotes. People send you these emails. Life is about attitude and everything. Well, okay, if it is. If life is, 90% attitude and 10%, what happens to you, whatever the quote is. Okay, think about it. What is that attitude? It is so important. Think about all the goodness that people tell you. They tell you, okay, to make it in life, you have to have a good attitude. You have to have positive ions floating around you. Okay, well, how do you create those positive ions? Think about other people tell you. They tell you that exercise because you got to get your endorphins going, right? Well, what is that? What are those endorphins? It is that positive attitude. It is that optimism. It is that ability to create something good in your life, despite how difficult it is. And this is the one secret that the Armenian Church is offering to the world right now. You want to make it in life, whether it is your personal life, it is your community life, the world life, it's a call to optimism. And thanksgiving does that. It forces you to look at what is good in your life and to say thank you to it. I shared it with you a few months ago. I came to this idea. I had been challenged by another priest. What is a blessing? What is a blessing? And I thought about that. I contemplated that for 30 years now. And I came up with this little formula. And the more I think about it, the more it really, really makes sense. A blessing is basically luck without the element of chance. Blessing is luck without the element of chance. Think about it in your life. Can you say you're lucky? Okay, yeah, you've had some losses. It may have been personal losses. It may have been because of relationships gone sour. Some of the losses could be financial. I mean, you're really struggling and having a hard time right now. But when you look at the blessings that you have in life, you realize that you do have some luck. And that luck is not based on chance. It's not the roll of a dice. No. That luck, that beauty in your life, is because you're cared about, because God loves you. It's that blessing that the birds find. Not looking for chance, but knowing that their Heavenly Father takes care of them. It's that blessing that the flowers find, that they are wearing some beautiful garments, and so beautiful that we look at them and we are in awe, that they are even Solomon in all his splendor was not attired as one of these. That's not by chance. That's because their Heavenly Father cares for those simple flowers. And how much more important are you, says our Lord Jesus Christ, than those sparrows of the air, than the flowers of the garden. And your Heavenly Father takes care of you. He gives you blessings. He gives you blessings, and those blessings are that luck. But there's no element of chance in there, because you are guaranteed it comes to you by God. And you've got to be thankful for that, because the minute you're thankful for that, you start counting those blessings. You say that, okay, hey, I did have some misfortune. It was a rough year. It is. I'm going through some incredibly difficult times in these relationships. I've lost somebody very dear to me. Whatever the case may be, but hey, you know what? Look around me. I do have blessings. There's that smile that I see in my child's eye. There's that person over there at work, you know, who kind of complimented me and told me that, okay, I can make it. There is the goodness that, hey, I'm sitting across a computer right now, or a small little MP3 player. I don't know where this came from. I don't know how this technology evolved, but it's streaming into my ear Father Voskin's voice. Okay, you know, I mean, like, think about it. I'm not trying to be funny here, but I'm telling you, if you're listening on a computer, if you're listening on an MP3 player, you're better off than most of the world. Our good friend Gabriel Starring, he is spending his Thanksgiving right now in Darfur. He's at a Chad refugee camp right now. He's been tweeting all night. We've been following his tweets. We've been following his website, all the activity. Our prayers are with him. And he's telling you, there is a community out there that is going through genocide, and basically the world has forgotten this small little area of Darfur. It speaks to me. It resonates in my heart so well because, hey, this was my grandparents just 100 years ago. Genocide taking place and nobody caring. Everybody giving a deaf ear to it, caring more about their things. Well, what happens when you give thanks, you all of a sudden realize that you have so much to be thankful for, your attention then goes to other places. You don't feel sorry for yourself as much as you start looking at the world and saying, there are some sorry situations, and now I need to address those situations. I need to bring my resources, the goodness that God has given me, to those areas that need help. I'm going to put a link to Gabriel's website, IACT, on today's show notes. Please do check it out. Keep Gabriel in your prayers. I mean, his team is out there documenting, bringing hope and bringing love to a community that is hurting. And what are we doing through Epostle, through In His Shoes, but to say thanks for those blessings, and now we're moving forward. We are putting our attention where attention should be. And so check it out on today's show notes. We'll put a link to the greetings to Darfur. Here's a group of Armenian survivors saying to a group of Darfuri survivors, hang in there. We have walked in your shoes, and now we want to feel your pain by walking in your shoes. There's an Armenian expression, Savadanim. Let me feel your pain. Let me understand your pain. It's at the core of In His Shoes philosophy. And so In His Shoes, I've got to tell you this, is changing basically. In His Shoes, the entire idea of of what we do through the organization and through the philosophy, how we've put it together. It's basically built on armodoxy, on this very simple principle that God is great, God is good, on this principle that Armenian Orthodoxy has survived because of the secret of thanksgiving, of giving thanks. And so In His Shoes kicks back for a while. Yes, the pun is intended. In His Shoes kicks back. And it looks at the world and says, okay, we need to feel other people's pain. I got to tell you what we kicked off last night in Glendale at the Youth Ministry Center. We loaded up baskets of food and delivered it to the homeless. We delivered it to people in need. People who may have not otherwise had a beautiful Thanksgiving with food. And you say, well, okay, a lot of churches do that. Here's the difference, okay? Want to know what the difference was? I got a call just a few days ago from Senator Carol Liu's office. They wanted to donate turkeys to our program. And I was overwhelmed. I was overwhelmed with joy because it means that there was a shift in understanding and the paradigm shift has taken place. Because whereas Armenians were seen as these people with their hands out, please help us. And a lot of that victim mentality that Armenian organizations and the Armenian church wants us to believe is still happening, that we need to be out there and looking to senators and politicians to give us help by recognizing the past, has now been forgotten. Here is a senator who changed that and approached us. I didn't have my hand out. She came to us and said, hey, we've got turkeys to give you. Can you use them? Recognizing that an Armenian church, based on Armenian Orthodoxy, In His Shoes philosophy, is reaching out to others. Hey, can I help? Can I give my participation to it? And you think about that for a moment. You think about that for a moment. What a shift that is. It means we're no longer victims, but we are victors. We're helping others. What they used to call the starving Armenians are now helping people. What a shift. Isn't that incredible? And it's no less incredible than what happened to the apostles, the disciples who witnessed the crucifixion. They were victims. They were victims of the Jewish hierarchy. They were victims of Rome's laws, and they saw their Lord and Master crucified. They were victims until the resurrection, until that morning, when they showed up at the empty tomb. What happened? The victims turned into victors. The cross was gone. The cross was empty. The cross had nothing to do with their reality. Their reality was now the empty tomb, and they were out there talking about it. They had a victory, and they were thanking God for the blessings that were around them. Thanking God that they were no longer just elements of luck and chance, a throw of a dice, but God loved them so much that He was showering them with blessings. The luck without the element of chance. There it was. It was so beautiful. Victory in Christ. And I'm convinced that Armenian people, through Armenian Orthodoxy, grab that. And they found the strength in that. And what we've had a hard time doing is passing this along because of all kinds of difficulties, whatever the problems have been. The Armenian church has had a difficult time in expressing this concept of victory. And so what we're trying to do through Armodoxy is really kind of bring it down to simple terms. To understand that there is a secret over there. And that secret is the secret of life. It is the secret of victory. It is the secret of overcoming your difficulties with the power of love, with the power of Christ, who is the incarnation of love, who changes the victim mentality to a victory mentality. And in so doing, we have so much to be thankful for. First and foremost, for the love that He has placed in our heart, for the love that He has demonstrated demonstrated through his crucifixion and ultimately through his resurrection, for the love that he has given us to be his ambassadors. By this they will know that you are my children, that you love one another as I loved you. There it is. That's how simple it is. And the secret of Armodoxy is keep that feeling of thanksgiving going in your life. You change your negativism to positive feelings and expressions. Your pessimism turns into optimism. And in that optimism, you find a way of reaching out to others. And in that, you demonstrate the victory that is yours, that you share with Christ. Let's take a break right now. Here is Ani with today's Spiritual Bubbles. Just coming in, joining us remotely. I think it's a Thanksgiving one, if I know Ani well.
Today's Spiritual Bubble is a Thanksgiving story by Andrea Nanette Mejia. It was the day before Thanksgiving, the first one my three children and I would be spending without their father, who had left several months before. Now the older two children were sick with the flu, and the eldest had been prescribed bed rest for a week. It was a cool, gray day outside, and a light rain was falling. I grew wearier as I scurried around, trying to care for each child. Thermometers, juice, diapers. I was fast running out of liquids for the children. But when I checked my purse, all I found was about $2.50. And that was supposed to last me till the end of the month. That's when the phone rang. It was the secretary from our former church, and she told me that they had been thinking about us and had something to give us from the congregation. I told her I was going to pick up some juice and soup for the children and that I would stop by the church on my way to the market. I arrived at the church just before lunch. The secretary met me at the door and handed me a special gift envelope. "We think of you and the kids often," she said, "and you are in our hearts and our prayers. We love you." When I opened the envelope, I found two grocery certificates inside. Each was worth $20. I was so touched and moved, I broke down and cried. "Thank you very much," I said as we hugged each other. "Please give our love and thanks to the church." Then I drove to the store near our home and purchased some much-needed items for the children. At the checkout counter, I had a little over $14 worth of groceries, and I handed the cashier one of the gift certificates. She took it, and then she turned her back for what seemed like a very long time. I thought that something might be wrong, so finally I said, "This gift certificate is a real blessing. Our former church gave it to our family, knowing I'm a single parent trying to make ends meet." The cashier then turned around with tears in her loving eyes and replied, "Honey, that's wonderful. Do you have a turkey?" "No," I said, "but it's okay. My children are sick anyway." She then asked, "Do you have anything else for Thanksgiving dinner?" Again, I replied, "No." After handing me the change from the certificate, she looked at my face and said, "Honey, I can't tell you exactly why right now, but I want you to go to the back into the store and buy a turkey, cranberry sauce, pumpkin pie, or anything else you need for Thanksgiving dinner." I was shocked and humbled to tears. Are you sure?" I asked. "Yes, get whatever you want," she said, "and get some Gatorade for your children." I felt awkward as I went back to do more shopping, but I selected a fresh turkey, a few yams and potatoes, some juices for the children, and then I wheeled the shopping cart back to the same cashier as before. As I placed my groceries on the counter, she looked at me once more with giant tears in her eyes and began to speak. "Now I can tell you. This morning, I prayed that I could help someone today. And then you walked into my line." She reached out under the counter for her purse and took out a $20 bill. She paid for my groceries and handed me the change. Once more, I was moved to tears. The sweet cashier then said, "I'm a Christian. Here is my phone number if you ever need anything." She then took my head in her hands, kissed my cheek, and said, "God bless you, honey." As I walked to my car, I was overwhelmed by the stranger's love and by the realization that God loves my family too and shows us his love through the strangers and my church's kind deeds. The children were supposed to have spent Thanksgiving with their father that year, but because of the flu, they were home with me for a very special Thanksgiving day. They were feeling better, and we ate all of the goodness of the Lord's bounty and our community's love. Our hearts were truly filled with thanks. This has been your Thanksgiving spiritual bubble. May it float on the wind with a full belly of turkey to heaven.
Where is our hanky today? No Kleenex. This is the problem when you're all alone in the studio. You don't have the support staff. Where did we find Kleenex? Honey, that was so beautiful. I don't know. It just really got to me on many, many levels. A beautiful story, simple story, but it expresses what it's all about. It's in the giving that we understand who we are. Thank you, Honey, and all the best of a beautiful Thanksgiving for you today. Hey, I've been telling you about a secret, the secret of Thanksgiving in our lives that defines Armadoxy, that defines not only survival, but about having a life of victory. And I want to share some more with you because some exciting things are happening. And that takes place, well, in the Youth Ministry Center where we're at in Glendale, but should take place in every church. I don't care where it is. If you're going to define yourself as the body of Christ, you have to do what Christ would do in any such situation. If there is hunger, then you need to find food and give it to the hungry people. If there is war, you need to bring about peace. That is what Christ did. He attacked the problems of evil one by one, and he became the victor in that ultimate victory. And now the challenge is ours, really, and we do have that power as a church, as the body of Christ, to really bring about Christ's love and his blessings into this world. Okay, now Ken has told me that I've got to leave a spot here for Susie's announcement, so that's coming up right now, and then as soon as you get back after Susie, and it's important what she has to say, I'm going to wrap it up with a couple nice little stories. I promised you Thanksgiving moments. I'm going to share those with you in just a second. Join me in a few minutes, okay? Here's Susie to tell you how you can get involved in this dynamic and exciting ministry.
Before getting back to the Next Step with Father Vazgen, I'd like to take this opportunity to remind you that this ministry is supported through the heartfelt donations of listeners like you. Thanks for keeping us in your prayers and partnering with this expanding and dynamic outreach. We are now in the fourth year of broadcasting and pleased that this voice of Armadoxy is being heard by a worldwide audience. The Next Step is entering homes and communities with a solid message proclaiming God's message of love, forgiveness, and compassion. We look forward to your comments and words of encouragement. Address your comments 24/7 to our email address, feedback@epostle.net, or via our website at epostle.net. During these past 4 years, we have consistently produced the Next Step as a gift to our listeners. Please consider partnering in this dynamic ministry by making a contribution. By pressing on the donate button on our website, you can set up automatic donations, either weekly, monthly, or annually. Your donation goes a long way in furthering this ministry. Even more, tell your friends and family by sharing the Next Step link or website with them. We're on iTunes and Blueberry, as well as Facebook and Twitter. We are excited about this ministry and invite you to share in our enthusiasm. This is Susie wishing you all of God's blessings in your life. We now return to the Next Step with Father Vazgen.
Now, I want to thank all of you who've been forwarding, who've been talking, who've been spreading the news out on Facebook. You know, it is a simple way that you can express your thanks this holiday season is by forwarding the links, forwarding the email messages that you get about the next step, sharing this broadcast, this ministry with your friends and your families. We appreciate all that you do, and we are thankful on this holiday season, on this Thanksgiving holiday, to say thanks to you, our listeners, for all that you do. And if you pass along the links, we appreciate it. Hey, have you been checking out Compass with Linda Zadoyan? If not, do check that out. Some wonderful programming there. We did number 9 just a few days ago, a nice interview with a parish council member, Azad Derbedrosian, in the Glendale area. But it is basically an opportunity for us to look at the Armenian Church and faith in with new eyes, and appreciate all that's going on over there. A lot of stuff on Epostle, from the broadcast, from the Bible studies, from the streams, to the sermons, and of course, Next Step. And join us at our flagship, which is In His Shoes. We've got to revamp it with some great stuff coming up, but like I said, our good friend Gabriel is in Darfur, and we'll be putting links on all of our sites as well as on our Facebook pages. Do check out all of that. Now, I did say before we ended, we'd end with some Thanksgiving moments, and I'm going to share this with you because I am thankful to some great people in my life, and I wanted to share those people's lives with you because these are each people that I'm going to mention right now has seen some incredible, incredible tragedy that you it's beyond what human capacity can take. But God in His infinite love is with us all, and together we extend hands to one another. And here are a group of people that are transforming, that are extending thanksgiving. They're extending a thanksgiving hand to others. And I wanted to share those moments with you. First one is Yvette Hagopian. This is a young girl who tragically lost her life in an act of violence right in her own house. It happened to be right across from the church where we serve in Glendale. And in this violent act, she lost her life and really destroyed the hopes and dreams of her family for her. But in that destruction, we're seeing God's love by this family coming together and establishing the Yvette Hagopian Toy Drive. And every day, people are now bringing toys that we're going to be passing out to children. Now think about it. She lost her life in violence. We're going to give it to children in shelters who have witnessed domestic violence, who are being sheltered right now. And that goes on through the holiday season and Christmas morning. Those kids are going to be waking up thanks to the efforts of the Yvette Hagopian Toy Drive. Another Thanksgiving moment is a very special story in my life that has touched me, and that is the Katia Hamparian Children's Memorial that's going to take place in a couple weeks. And I invite you, if you have somebody that you have lost at a very early age, Katia was a young lady who lost her life just as she was starting her teen years, and she has now left us. But her memory is so live and vibrant in a community that remembers not only her, but all the stars that are twinkling up there in the sky. And we remember this in a children's memorial. It's a worldwide event, but we do it in Glendale. And I want to invite you to go and talk to your pastors, talk to your church about adopting this program, because there are so many people who are hurting. And by doing this, what Katia Hamparian's family is doing is allowing other people to vent, allowing other people to express, allowing other people to grieve in a very unique manner by keeping lights alive. This is going to take place in December, and I want to do a special program. We'll be talking about that in the next few weeks. This takes place in the second Sunday of December every year. This year, we invite you to join us. If your community is not doing it, please join us. Drop me a line at feedback@epostle.net. Let us know about a special person in your life who is no longer with you, especially children. And we'd be happy to remember them in this Feast of Lights. And finally, I want to remember another young man, Vahakin Setyan. He is a young man who lost his life tragically a couple years ago. And again, the family trying to make an outreach for others not to be to fall into this trap. And they're going to be hosting a 5K walk. I was getting ahead of myself. 5K walk in a couple weeks on December 3rd. And I'm going to participate in that because our team in her shoes, is getting ready for a big walk next September. We're going to be walking for breast cancer. That's 40 miles. So I thought I could do this, Vahakin Setyan. But a wonderful family who is bringing back some values in education in the name of Vahakin Setyan. I mention these three people because to me these are the moments of Thanksgiving. People faced with incredible tragedy in their lives, but finding the courage to stand up once again and saying that, you know what, may not be the greatest, may be very difficult, it may be really, really hurtful, but you know what, I'm going to reach out to someone else because I'm not the only one that's hurting in this world. And in so doing, I'm going to express a little bit of love that's left in my heart, that remains in my heart, and will forever be in my life. So I invite you to get involved in all of these programs and get them involved elsewhere. That is what In His Shoes is all about. It is no big secret. You don't need to leave it in Glendale. You can do an In His Shoes wherever you are. I know that our friends are doing it throughout the world. We've got In His Shoes going out in different countries and different continents. It's time for you to get involved, to say, I want to walk in the shoes of others by helping people. It is the commandment that Jesus Christ gave us. To walk in the shoes of others means to respect others, and in respecting, you can now love one another. We are at the end of today's show. I want to thank you on this Thanksgiving feast. I hope that it's a good one for you. I'm going to go and watch the Macy's Parade. Yes, next year, I hope it'll be in New York. I hope I could bundle up and be in New York. But until then, I'm going to go and camp out in front of my TV and remember 1937 when my dad saw it for the first time and just think about all that has taken place. It is a beautiful day. I wish you all the best of God's blessings. Remember what those are. That's luck without the element of chance. I invite you to get involved in our websites, on our Facebook, follow us on Twitter, listen to all the wonderful programming on epostle.net. That's Apostolic Evangelism for an Expanding and Electronic Universe. For the wonderful crew that's going to put this together, yes, going to put it together, I know, I have complete faith that they'll get it out. For Susie, our producer, for Ken, our engineer, for Ani with her wonderful bubbles, this is Father Boskin inviting you to join us again next week when we will take the next step.
Cultural heritage,
national beverage,
being fat,
Union Jack,
the nursery rhymes,
Sunday Times,
the napalm bomb,
everyone. Thank you very much. Thank you very, 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 very much.
It was simply spiffing and true. Now let me whisper, I love you.
thank you very much, thank you very, very, very much, thank you very much for the Ainsley Iron, thank you very, very, very much. Thank you very much for playing this record, thank you very much, thank you very, very, very much, thank you very much for playing this record, thank you very, very, very much. Thank you very much for our gracious team. Thank you very much, thank you very, very, very much, thank you very much for our gracious team. Thank you very, very, very
much.
The information and comments presented within this podcast and our website do not necessarily represent the views of the Armenian Church hierarchy, but are presented as a challenge to define the dynamics of Armenian Orthodoxy in all aspects of life. Listening to these shows is habit-forming. Addictive behavior associated with the next step is rarely, if ever, remedied. Rather, the next step is known to relieve and cure common cases of narrow-mindedness, prejudice, numbskulledness, and glaucoma in patients over the age of 20. Results may vary depending on credit rating. Findings are based on double-blind studies conducted in Istanbul and Jerusalem. Side effects include mind expansion, clarity of focus, higher rates of heart palpitations, sensitivity to the pain of others, and occasional nausea. The management and production crew of epostle.net take full responsibility for changes you will experience. Not valid with any other offer.